Luke chapter 8, I want to look at just three verses. Luke chapter 8, verse 1, 2, and 3. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village. He's talking about the area of Galilee. Preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. What are the glad tidings of the kingdom of God? And he went with this company of this 12. The 12. They're often referred to as the 12. When we know that's referring to the 12 apostles. And also certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Women. Women ministered unto the Lord and to the apostles. He mentions here Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna. This is the only time that Susanna is mentioned in the Word of God, is right here. Don't know anything about her other than the Lord healed her. And the Lord blessed her. And then it says, and many others, which ministered unto him, that's service to the Lord. And they did so out of their substance, whatever they had, whatever they were blessed with, whatever God put into their hands, they were willing to minister to the cause of God and the gospel. I'm entitling the message today from verse 1, Glad Tidings of the Kingdom of God. Glad tidings, or good news of the kingdom of God. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ indeed is good news. It's not good news to everybody, but it's good news to the needy. It's good news to the guilty. It's glad tidings to those who are miserable, guilty, vile, wretched sinners. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ came to save the ungodly. The Lord Jesus Christ, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that the Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners. That gives me hope, because I'm a sinner. One old preacher of the past put it this way: the first link between my soul and Christ is not my goodness, but my badness. Not my merit, but my misery. Not my standing, but my falling. Not my riches, but my need. He comes to visit his people, yet not to admire their beauties. They don't have any. But to remove their ugliness, their deformities, and sin. Not to reward their virtues, but to forgive them their sin and to make them new creatures in our Lord Jesus Christ. The wonder the apostle writes, how beautiful are the feet of them. And that refers to Christ and his servants called to preach the gospel, that preach the gospel of peace, that bring glad tidings of good things. Good things. The gospel of Christ contains many and special spiritual good things that are freely given. Freely given. Don't you like things that are free? God, who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely, I love that word, don't you? Freely give us all things, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything in the gospel is free. It's the free gift of his grace, the free gift of his mercy, and the free gift of his love. Now notice verse 1 in Luke chapter 8, and it came to pass afterward. This refers back to all that the Lord had said and all that the Lord had done in Luke chapter 7. How the Lord was always going about and doing the will of the Lord, doing the purpose of the Lord, healing all that had need of healing. You remember back in chapter 7, turn over there, verse 21 of Luke 7. And in that same hour, he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind, he gave sight. Turn to another scripture here, close in Luke chapter 9, verse 11. And the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God and healed them that had need of healing. The Lord Jesus Christ was always going about doing the will of the Father. Our blessed Savior was always willing and wanting to do the will and work of the Father's business in accomplishing our salvation. Hold your place here and find Luke chapter 2. Remember early in his life in the temple when his parents had gone and he stayed behind in Luke 2 verse 49. When they came back to find him, being concerned about him, "How is it that you sought me? Know you not that I must be about my Father's business?" Luke 2, 49. Remember he said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." And then he prayed in John chapter 17, "Father, I've glorified thee on the earth. I finished the work you gave me to do." I'm trusting the Lord Jesus Christ who finished salvation for his people. Now, again, look at Luke chapter 8, verse 1. We see the Lord Jesus Christ, after all that he had done, there in this recorded in Luke chapter 7, it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, and this is talking about the region of Galilee, preaching and showing the glad tidings or the good news of the kingdom of God. We see the Lord Jesus Christ back at his principal business, going through every city in Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Our Lord was a preacher of the gospel. Let's turn back to Luke chapter 4 and let's read that again. Luke chapter 4. When he came to his hometown of Nazareth, where he had been brought up, verse 16 of Luke 4, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, this is Isaiah 61, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me, he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, gave it to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." The Lord was sent to preach the gospel. In Luke chapter 4, look at verse 43. "And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent." And he preached in the synagogue of Galilee. The Lord Jesus Christ indeed was blessed, anointed, and sent of God to declare how God saved sinners through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. While the Lord went through many areas preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord also healed many people of their physical diseases. All those physical healings are only emblems of our spiritual healing we receive through the gospel. Look again at Luke chapter 7, verse 22. "As he went preaching the gospel He also went healing those who had need of healing. But all those healings teach us how God saves sinners. Luke 7:22. Then Jesus answering said unto them, "Go your way. You tell John what things you have seen and heard, how that the blind see." The Lord's given us eyes of faith to see Him. "How the lame walk." He's given us faith that we might walk by faith and not by sight. "How the lepers are cleansed." We're cleansed with the blood of Christ. "How the deaf hear." He's given us ears to hear Him. "How the dead are raised up, quickened together with Christ." And the gospel is preached to them. "And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." What are the glad tidings of the kingdom of God that we read about there in Romans chapter 10? Hold your place here in Luke 8. I want you to find Isaiah 52. That verse is quoted from Isaiah 52 verse 7. What are the glad tidings of the kingdom of God? Isaiah 52 verse 7. "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publish peace, that bring good tidings of good, that publish salvation, that saith unto Zion," that's God's church, "the Lord God," what's that word? "The Lord thy God reigneth." What does that mean? That means he's sovereign. Now, three things are declared right here in this verse, Isaiah 52, 7. First of all, what are the good things of the gospel? That publish peace. The glad tidings of the gospel is how we have, as guilty, vile sinners, how we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. To publish peace. The Lord our God is called the Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9, 6. In Hebrews 7, 2, he's called the King of Peace. And then we read in Colossians chapter 1 that he made peace for us with his own blood. So when we declare the gospel of God concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, we declare how the Lord Jesus Christ with his blood sacrifice reconciled us unto God, and that we have peace with him only in Christ. He made peace for us with his own blood. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God was in Christ reconciling us unto himself. What does that word reconciliation mean? Two who are at odds are reconciled. Our sin has separated us from God. In Christ we are reconciled because he has removed our sin. Therefore we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The second thing that is mentioned here in Hebrews, or rather Isaiah 52, 7, not only that we publish peace with God through Christ, and then that bringeth good tidings of good, that publish, secondly, salvation. 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 There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only Savior of sinners. He is the only just God and Savior, as it says in Isaiah 45. Salvation that was purposed by God in eternity was accomplished in time in the coming, the doing, and the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. What was purposed in eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ in time actually purchased with his own blood. The Lord stood as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world, right? What did he do in time? In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. Salvation. We publish peace through the blood sacrifice of Christ, and we publish salvation in Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ alone. The salvation that the Lord declares is that salvation that he accomplished. Salvation is not based upon, now listen carefully, don't miss this. Salvation is not based upon what you do. Not in anything we do. Not our faith. Not our repentance. Not our church membership. Not our baptism. Salvation is not based upon what we do, what we bring, what we give, what we say. Salvation that's of the Lord is that salvation that He accomplished by Himself, with Himself, and it's in Him. He that hath the Son hath life. You see, we publish peace through the blood sacrifice of Christ. We publish salvation in Him. Isn't that exactly what the Lord said? He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by and through me. So we published that salvation is of the Lord. From election to glorification, He's the Alpha, He's the Omega of all of our salvation that we have. Salvation is of the Lord. It's His doing. It comes from Him. It's by His purpose. And the third thing we preach, Isaiah 52:7, we publish peace through Christ. We publish salvation in Christ, by Christ, that saith unto God's people, Zion, somebody's in charge. Thy God reigneth. What do we preach? We preach the absolute sovereignty of God in salvation. What does that word sovereignty mean? It means that God has all authority in heaven, all authority in the earth, all authority over you, and that He gives salvation to whom He will. I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. That's what He said. I will harden whom I will harden. The good news and glad tidings of the gospel of Christ is that He has all power to give salvation unto His people and to save them from their sin. Again, He prayed in John 17. The Father hath given me power, authority over all flesh, that I should give eternal life to as many as the Father hath given to me. All that the Father hath given to me shall come to me, and those that come to me I will in no wise cast out. Aren't you glad He has all authority and power to save me? You see, my case is so desperate. I'm so guilty. My sin's so vile. I'm so dead in sin. If He doesn't have all power, this sinner has no hope. But thank God, He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. You know what that means? That means nobody else has any power. Now, the United States government, they think they've got some power. The powers that be are ordained of God. They're ordained of God. Let us never think that anybody has any power or authority outside. Even our Lord told Pilate. Pilate said, I have authority and power to crucify you or to let you go. Remember what the Lord said? You don't have any power over me at all, except that which I give you, which is ordained of God. So, let us never think lightly of the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the glad tidings. Peace with God through Christ. Salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the sovereign Christ of God. We bow to the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us never think lightly of the preaching of the gospel of Christ. Matter of fact, that charge is given unto His church. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ to preach the gospel. Let us never think lightly of preaching of the gospel. Paul says, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. But let us never think lightly of hearing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are told to take heed how we hear and take heed what you hear. You see, by the foolishness of preaching, the Lord Jesus Christ is pleased to call out His people. While the preaching of the gospel may be foolishness to some, it's the wisdom and power of God unto salvation. You see, the Lord has ordained the preaching of the gospel as a means to call out His elect. Remember what the Apostle Paul said? Brethren, we know your election is of God. How do you know that, Paul? Because our gospel came unto you not in word only, but in power and the Holy Spirit and in much assurance. You see, the Lord has ordained the preaching of the gospel as the means to call out His people. It pleased God through preaching to call out His people. Secondly, as the means to quicken and call sinners to life in Christ. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth. We're born again, not with the corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible, the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. We're going to see in our study here in Luke chapter 8. Turn back over there. Luke chapter 8, verse 11. When he talks about the parable of the sower. The sower went forth to sow the seed. What is that seed? Look at verse 11 of Luke 8. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. That's what we're doing this morning. We're sowing some seed. I can't give it life. I can't make it grow. God does. God can. God will. You remember the story of Ezekiel and the prophet of God in Ezekiel 37? When he showed the prophet a valley of dry bones. They were bleached, many bones. They were dead bones. Remember what the Lord said to him? Can these bones live? Remember what he said? Lord, you know. You know what he told him to do? The Lord told Ezekiel to do? Preach to those bones. Preach to those dead bones? Absolutely. And God will bless the preaching of His word. He said it will never return unto Him void. The seed is the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of truth, the word of God. Thirdly, as a means to feed His church. Feed the church of God which He had purchased with His own blood. How are you going to feed them? With the word of truth, the word of life. That's why the Lord has charged His church to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's why we make much of preaching here. Now, we don't make much of the preacher, but we do make much of the preaching of the word. This preacher is just an earthen vessel, just like you, a weak, frail, sinful, guilty man. But we do make much of the Lord Jesus Christ. I point you to Him. Look unto Him and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Now, here's the second thing I want us to look at. In Luke chapter 8, verse 1, and the 12 were with Him. The 12 were with Him. Now, we know that these were the apostles that the Lord had chosen. Remember He said, Matthew, follow Me. And He called others. They were specially chosen men, chosen by Christ to serve His purpose, to the glory of His grace and to the glory of His justice. Remember our Lord said in John 15 to them, those men, He said, to them, you didn't choose Me, I chose you. And I ordained you that you should bring forth fruit unto the glory of God. They were anointed by Him to preach the gospel and sent forth to do so by His command. Turn to Luke chapter 9. Turn there. Verse 1 and 2. He called His 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils to cure diseases. And He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. What were they sent to do? To preach the kingdom of God. Preach Christ in His lordship and His authority, that salvation's of the Lord. They were called and put into the ministry. They left all and followed Him. They went everywhere with Him, heard Him preach. They saw His miracles. You think of everything they saw in those 3 years. They loved Him. They wanted to be with Him and taught by Him. They wanted to learn His doctrine. They were eager and willing to tell others and willing to serve Him. Now, I want to be a disciple like that, don't you? Forsaking all and following Him. Matter of fact, He said that, except you forsake all, you cannot be My disciple. But now here's a warning. Here's a warning. Turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. I bring this up because the Word of God brings this up. in John chapter 6, among those 12 was also Judas, who betrayed the Lord. You remember? John chapter 6, Judas also served the Lord's purpose to magnify his justice. Notice in John chapter 6, verse 65, "Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." John 6, 65. You see it? "From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." What is he declaring there? "No man can come unto me except it were given him to my Father." He's declaring that salvation is of the Lord, is he not? We have no ability, no will, no love, no want to by nature. God must make us new creatures in Christ. "And many went back and followed him no more." Verse 67, "Then the Lord said to the 12," there's that 12 again, "Will you also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." The words of eternal life. "We believe and we are sure thou art that Christ." That Christ. Not another. That Christ. "The Son of the living God." And the Lord answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12? Now watch this. And one of you is a devil." He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. For he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. We know among them the 12 was a reprobate, an apostate, a traitor, one who sold the Lord out for 30 pieces of silver. Our Lord in John 17 called Judas the son of perdition. So the warning is this: Judas betrayed the Lord for 30 pieces of silver, sold him out, and betrayed him with a kiss of malice. Let us examine ourselves whether we be in the faith. I don't want to make a shipwreck of the faith. Do you? Like Judas, like Demas, I want to, by God's grace, continue in the faith and to die in faith. We're exhorted in Scripture, 2 Corinthians 13:5. Let me just read it to you. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Examine yourselves. I'm not to examine you. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be a reprobate? Now, here's the third thing I want us to notice in verse 2 and 3. Back in Luke chapter 8, turn back over there. "And certain women, now yesterday they had, if you watched the news yesterday, there's women everywhere in all these cities, right? Did you see that on the news? Women everywhere, marching. What were they doing? I'll tell you in a minute. "These certain women here, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom the Lord cast 7 devils, Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance." Of their substance. Certain women. Who are these many women? Well, certain women which had been healed. I mean, they've been healed. They met the Lord and he healed them. Body, soul, and spirit. These women were chosen to salvation from the foundation of the world. Well, we read, "We are bound to give thanks to God for you, brethren." And that includes the women among God's elect. "We are bound to give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Their names were written in the book of life before time began." In the Lamb's book of life. Turn over here to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Their names were written in the book of life. These women, God's elect. Philippians chapter 4. Look at verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and Syntyche that they be the same mind in the Lord. I entreat thee also, true yoke fella, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. When were they put there? When God chose a people in eternal election and wrote their name in the Lamb's book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice in the Lord. These women had experienced the saving power and wonder of His sovereign grace. They had been healed of evil spirits and many infirmities. Last week we talked about a woman whose name was not given, but one whose sins, which were many, were forgiven, who loved much. Remember Luke 7 verse 47? Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. Verse 48, for he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Now be sure you know these women that are mentioned here, their sins were also forgiven. But back in Luke 7, the Lord doesn't even mention the name of that woman. But here we have the name of three women. Three women. The first one we read about is Mary Magdalene. She lived in a city by the name of Magdala. The Lord cast seven demons out of her soul. She served the Lord out of gratitude and love. It was this same Mary who stood at the foot of the cross when the Lord was crucified. It was this same Mary who went to the grave that third morning, to whom the Lord appeared, and who went and told the disciples, the Lord is risen. And they laughed at Mary. Mary was a faithful woman. The Lord had done much for her and in her and given her salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. The second that is mentioned here is this woman by the name of Joanna. Joanna. Now notice it says specifically that she was the wife of one named Cusa, Herod. Who was Herod? Herod was a wicked, wicked king. And he had a steward in his house named Cusa. And his wife met the Lord in saving mercy. And he healed her and forgave her sin. And then Susanna. Her husband, Joanna's husband, was a high servant. This word steward here seemed to indicate that Cusa took care of all the dealings, the legal and financial dealings of Herod. Her husband was a high servant of a wicked king, but even in the household of a wealthy, wicked, powerful man, the Lord has his sheep and he will cross their path with the gospel. We read in Scripture, not many wise men, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But thank God, some are. This woman was Joanna, Mary of Magdala. And then, thirdly, Susanna. Susanna. We used to sing that song as a boy, Old Susanna. You know, this is the only mention of her name in Scripture. And there's nothing given about her other than the fact she met the Lord, she loved the Lord, she ministered unto Him. Why did she do that? Out of gratitude and a thankful heart. No information is given about her in the Scripture, but this is certain. She walked with Christ because she loved Him, and the Lord had forgiven all her sin. Now notice what they did. Many others also that are not mentioned here, but notice what they did. They ministered unto him. These women, now don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. These women were in the ministry. Every believer is in the ministry. They serve God's purpose by serving one another. They ministered unto him of their substance. Like the woman we read about last week who brought the alabaster box of ointment and fell at the Lord's feet and kissed his feet and shed her tears and washed his feet with the hairs of her head and anointed his feet with oil. These women worshiped the Lord with what they had. These women worshiped the Lord and supported the gospel with the substance they were blessed to have. Now we know this, the Lord didn't need their substance, did he? He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. But the Lord did not refuse their willing service to him. How gracious is our great King, our Lord Jesus Christ, to truly allow us and to bless us to worship him in spirit and in truth, to allow sinners to express our devotion and love toward him who is altogether lovely. To you who believe the Lord Jesus Christ, he is precious. To you who believe, Christ is all and in all. Now in closing, let me give you this. Let us follow the example of these three things that are mentioned here. Like our wonderful Lord and Master going and preaching the good news of the gospel wherever we go. To everyone we meet, declare the gospel. As Paul said, for as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you who are at Rome also. For the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. So let us not be ashamed of the gospel. The gospel of that publishes peace. The gospel that publishes salvation in Christ. That says God reigns over all things. And then secondly, let us, like these faithful disciples who willingly serve the Lord out of love and gratitude, to be ever found with him, counting all things but loss that we might win Christ and be found in him. And then like these devoted women, let us be like these devoted women, bowed to his will, to serve the cause of Christ, to promote his glory and the cause of God and his truth. Let us contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. May God bless us to do so. There was a young man many years ago who approached an old preacher of the gospel. The old preacher of the gospel's name was Ralph Barnard. And this young person came to this old preacher after the service and said, "Preacher, I want to serve the Lord." You know what he said? "Do it." Do it. You remember over here, and don't turn, let me just read it to you. Submitting to the will of the Lord, do it. When they ran out of wine at that wedding, and his mother said this to those servants, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." You want to serve the Lord? I'd like to serve the Lord. Do it. Do it. Do it by his will. Do it by his grace. And do it to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ.